This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. This is Peter's Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Walt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I feel like a special guest. I haven't been on in a couple of weeks. I feel like Johnny Carson coming back to his own show.
Yeah, well, you had some business to take care of, you had work to take care of, so I mean,
yeah,
you know,
and that was quite interesting. Well, we'll talk about that later on in the show, but I want to say good morning to everybody also, and I want to thank Jim Lancia for doing a fabulous job filling in last week, and when you talked about that Boy George thing, I'm telling you, man, I got that song in my head when I listened to the other night. I couldn't get that damn thing out of my head. And just in case, we got Lancia listening, I got something for him. Let's see. Here we go. Come on. It's on its way. And it don't want to play. Well, I could sing it, but then I think we'd lose a lot more listeners. So here we go.
I don't hear anything.
Is that on the air?
No. I hear you.
Yeah, well, you
hear
it going. anyway.
It's going nowhere
fast.
Thanks,
Jim Lancia, and you guys did a fabulous job last show. And
Right.
I hope it's very well.
Well, it's doing pretty well. Again, go on Amazon. Those who haven't bought the book yet, I mean, what are you waiting for? Christmas? Go to Amazon.com, type in Downtown White Police. It's a hell of a read. But anyways, first thing, we want to go to Dateline Detroit. Detroit lost a public servant, Officer Fady Shakur. Died in the line of duty Tuesday, August the 14th, succumbing to his injuries from an automobile accident August the 4th. Now, also in other news in Detroit, Aretha Franklin died. I mean, Aretha Franklin, you know, her name's, you know, bigger than life itself. But, you know, Mr. Shakur gave his life up for the city of Detroit, and he's just a public servant, but he gets nothing. And meanwhile, Aretha Franklin, who hasn't released an album about 30 years. I mean, she was a big part of Detroit in the that sound out of Detroit. But you know, Detroit lost two legends. You know, that's my opinion of Detroit. But anyways, let's go over to our former state, the Empire State, known as New York State. Andrew Cuomo was pandering to a group of women. And he said America was not that great. Because women don't get the fair shake or whatever, you know, whatever the story's been for the past 50, 60, 70, 80 years about women can't get their fair shake, women can't get this, America's not that great, and because, you know, we're taking a swipe at Donald Trump, because rumor has it Cuomo is going to run for president in 2020, and God, I hope he gets the nomination. I really, really hope he gets the nomination. But you know what? And I tweeted to Andy that, that he's right. America wasn't that great. That's why his grandparents immigrated to the United States from Italy, and their son became governor of New York, and their grandson is the current governor of New York. Also, you know, if America wasn't that great, I texted to the terrible governor. If America isn't that great, except for flight, space exploration, skyscrapers, highways, civil rights, voting rights, railroads, medicines, mass production, defeating the Nazis, defeating communism, air conditioning, elevators, technologies, and our tolerance. Now, of course, for whatever reason, Governor Cuomo didn't get back to me on that. But, you know what's not great is the state of New York itself. And the fruit doesn't fall from the tree. I mean, New York is one of these big Rust Belt, big liberal Rust Belt states ever since way back when from Governor Hugh Carey. All it does is tax and regulate, tax and regulate. You go north of the Tappan Zee Bridge, all the factories moved out of New York. What are some of the factories? I know Oneida Silversmiths, Brother Typewriter, Corning Silverware, Kodak, Xerox, the steel plants in Buffalo. What else? I think Miller Brewing or Nestle in Fulton, New York left. IBM left. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But for people like Mr. Cuomo, thinks the state of New York encompasses the five boroughs of New York, Nassau, Suffolk County, Westchester County, and then that Interstate 87, which goes up to Albany, New York. That's what they consider. Oh, and 87 goes from New York City to Albany, and then from Albany to Lake George. And they think that's the state of New York. Walt, what's your feelings on Mr. Cuomo and his wonderful state?
Well, as you know, I'm a native New Yorker, and I don't live there anymore. The issue with New York State, and you're right about the industry moving out. When I was a kid, there were so many small shops in New York City and big warehouses, medium-sized warehouses. And, you know, they held these factories. And as minute as they may sound, a lot of them were from the hardworking people that built New York City. And they were there. And I remember this feather company. And they would make pillows down on Grand Street. My grandmother used to get out pillows from these guys. And they were gone. By the late 70s, they were gone. And you mentioned Hugh Carey. And that's when it started, I believe, in New York. You know, maybe a little bit when Rockefeller was in the governor's office, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
about good old Rockefeller. But leading all the way up to, you know, Andy Panda here. Now, I know him personally. He probably remember me, but wouldn't acknowledge me. I had foot posts down there in the 105 where his father grew up and where his grandparents lived. And I believe his first job was down there at the Mattel Toy Company down there on Jamaica Avenue. And if Mr. Cuomo didn't get into politics, Andy'd be still working down in there, probably somewhere. Well, it's not much of a ghetto now, but I believe that
anyways,
he's not good for New York, and he's
right.
Not good for the... I hope he runs.
All right, let's hold that thought. We'll be right back on 7-5 Radio.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, "We're not going to protect that."
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And this is 7-5 Radio once again.
We were talking about Andrew Cuomo, and he's the Democratic governor of New York, right? And he's doing what most people on the left are doing right now. I guess the new word is on Twitter or YouTube when they like censor you or what do they call it?
Shadow banning.
Okay. Well, this Cuomo guy, Andy, he's a character. He wants to be president. I've had that feeling for many years now that he's always wanted to be president. I think his father even had eyes on the White House at some point. But unfortunately for him, his run at the White House was interrupted probably by the Clintons. And as a good Democrat, he did what he was told, so he didn't run. But we got Andy going to probably throw his hat in the ring very soon. And, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with the entire country. We all know that. If there was nothing wrong, we wouldn't need, you know, people like you and me bringing it to everybody's attention and trying to do something about it. We can't fix everything, but if each one of us took the time to just keep our little end of the world swept up and a little bit cleaner, we'd be better off. But getting back to Cuomo, it seems, you know, he's a typical leftist, blaming everything that's wrong with New York on the right to the Republicans. There's a tidbit here that he has on his Twitter page yesterday that New York law, most child sex abuse offenses can't be prosecuted after 5 years. And, you know, and his question is, does that seem right? Well, no, it's not right. But that's what's in the bylaws. It's been like that for ever, pretty much, ever since the statute of limitations was created way back in the early 1900s, that, you know, you can't prosecute a crime after a certain amount of time. You know, he's pointing his finger at the Republicans in the New York State Senate that passed the Child Victim Act, and he is not really telling the entire truth there. You know, it's not just... There isn't 99% Republican in New York by far. It's 99% Democrat, and it's been like that for quite a long time. So if that's his issue on these statute of limitations for child abuse, you know, rape, murder. Well, there is no statute on murder. The sexual abuse crimes is what I'm getting at. I think he's got the power to change that in his state. So he needs to buckle down and do something about it. And, you know, we can all agree to disagree, but that never accomplishes anything. So talking about it, Mr. Cuomo, is and pointing your finger is not going to relieve the situation, you know. I'll bet when he becomes president, that statute stays right where it is, 5 years, even though he's trying to be the leader of getting it changed. And he needs to address what he's addressing now when he becomes a candidate for our presidency. Your thoughts?
Right. Well, he's going to, my opinion is that he's going to just brush it aside. He's still going to talk about women's rights, minorities' rights. We need to be sanctuary cities because, I mean, the internet's a buzz. All these politicians and celebrities getting caught up all this sex scandals and pedophilia and Satanists. But, you know, we'll leave the conspiracy theories at bay. But, I mean, Andrew Cuomo's biggest accomplishment was renaming the Tappan Zee Bridge the Mario Cuomo Bridge. I mean, his father's done nothing but help. His father did nothing but help people leave the state of New York. So I guess it's a way to get people out of New York because, again, the fruit doesn't fall from the tree. I mean, other than Wall Street, thank God for Wall Street because if Wall Street wasn't making money hand over fist, no thanks to our current president, you know, New York would be in really dire straits like California. But I think just I hope Cuomo wins the nomination. He's going to get absolutely just destroyed in the general election. He'll win New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, California, Oregon, maybe, and Washington. But
maybe, you know, maybe.
Right. Maybe he won't win New York because Trump early this week, Trump went up to Utica, New York to give a speech. And there's like for a candidate for a Congress, and it was standing room only. It was just too small a venue. But Trump won all of New York State except, of course, the five boroughs in Westchester County. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. But anyway, speaking of the 45th president of the United States, one of his employees is making some news. Amorosa Manigault Newman, or just commonly known as Amorosa. I guess she wants to be the next Madonna, whatever. But anyway, she was fired for whatever reason. But she came out with a book called Unhinged. And now she's alleging that there's a tape of Donald Trump dropping the N-bomb. But the tape has not surfaced. And Ms. Amorosa's resume includes being a contestant on a reality show starring Donald Trump, being a contestant on another reality show, it's like Celebrity Big Brother, and working in the White House press office. You know, my feelings is that somebody at the Trump administration or the Donald himself said, you know what, let's have a black female face in our White House because it's predominantly an overwhelming older white men, which there's absolutely nothing wrong. Look at the last administration. He brought, you know, it looked like a Benetton commercial, and he just totally screwed up this country. But instead, Trump has older white men like Mad Dog Mattis as our Secretary of Defense, that lady for Secretary of Homeland Security. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's doing a bang-up job as a press secretary. But anyways, they brought this Amorosa character in, who said that Trump said the N-word. It's on tape, but there's no tape. If there was a tape, we would have known about it as soon as right after he came down that escalator, number one. Number two, Sam just told me that Barack said the N-word, and we have the tape. But, Sam, you got to remember, Obama has a right, he has the right color melanin in his skin. Whereas you, me, Walter, and Trump don't have the right amount of melanin. But anyways, there would have been
every day. I try to get away with it.
Right. I mean, Obama could sit there and drop the C bombs, M bombs, F bombs, whatever, and he has. It's on tape. Nothing. He dropped the M bombs. Nothing, because it's okay. But like I said, if there was a tape and there would have been a bidding war in the probably in the millions to hear that, and we'd hear, and we, if the tape did get out to the mainstream media, we'd hear it all day, every day. And we know what, you know, we'd be dropping the N-bomb, except they bleep it out. They bleep, you know, we'd be bleeping all day. But I think there's no tape. Obviously, there's no tape because the tape would have came out already, because they're looking for dirt on him even before he announces a campaign. But anyways, I think Ms. Omarosa, she's trying to play our 15 minutes. I think that she's going to eventually be hired with either MSNBC or CNN as a panelist to sit there and trash Trump, and that's, she'll just fade off into the sunset. Well, you got any opinions on Ms. Omarosa?
Yeah, you know, she's another one of those people that can't make up her mind what she wants to do besides have her 15 minutes of fame every 10 minutes. You know, this, you know, if the tape was there and he said the N-word, so what? So what? You know, it's a word. It's a word that a lot of people don't like. F-bomb is a word that a lot of people don't like. MF is a word that people don't like. But people use it all the time freely. You know, I watched television for the first time, and I saw a movie. And the GDs, the SH blank Ds were mentioned. The N-word was bleeped out.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
You're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back. Well, why don't you take the next segment about Blacka Cracka? Walt came up a new term that is going to be hitting the social media sooner than later. Walt, take it away.
Well, you know, I just have this these letters across my forehead that says, you know, come screw with me, you know, or say something stupid with me or to me or at me. You know, I was in downtown Chattanooga earlier this week, and I was behind somebody who was at a stop sign. And she was, or I didn't know it was a she, and, you know, traffic opened up, and she didn't move. I waited. I'm a patient guy. I waited, traffic opened up again, and tooted the horn. Nothing, didn't move. And tooted the horn again when traffic opened up. Well, she gets out of the car, and she happens to be a female of some kind of African descent. And started waving her arms for me to go around her if I didn't like it. And she said, this is her words. She says, if you don't like it, you go around me, cracker. And listen, cracker, I haven't heard that word in 35 years. I swear, not since I was on the streets of East New York. And I just started laughing. You know, I couldn't help myself. It was just so stupid. And I'm waving at her, you know, get back in your car and turn. Let's go. And, you know, she used the term cracker again, and I just yelled out the window. I says, well, you're a blacker cracker. I mean, it just came out. And she got mad, and she got in her car. And let me tell you, she got into traffic pretty quick after that. And it was just so stupid. You know, if she honked at me and I got out of my car and, you know, and I says, you know, if I said, well, if you don't like it, go around me and bomb. I'd have been a racist. You know, I'd have been ostracized. And that probably would have been on the internet. And, you know, I'm getting tired of this nonsense. And it is funny. The term cracker is funny. I have no idea where it ever came from. Do you?
Well, Pete, supposedly, well, according to Snopes or other website, the internet, we all know how accurate they can be. Cracker was a term for the guy in the fields that was cracking that whip. You know, he'd be a whip, and the slaves would be not doing what they need to do, so it'd be cracking the whip, and I guess they called him a cracker. So that's where it came from. But again, you've been called cracker. I've been called cracker. I've been called the N-word, believe it or not, numerous times in my various law enforcement jobs. You know, they called me the N-word. Another job, a customer service job, I was trying to help somebody get what they needed. And the lady didn't like my answer, so she said, oh, this N person is crazy. So I looked at my black coworker, and I said, was that for me or was that from you? He said, oh, that's for you, sir. I said, oh, good. Did my street credibility go up? He's like, it sure did. So I was calling.
You know, it's just beyond me that, you know, it's a word. It's a word. Is it a hurtful word? I really don't know. I guess it's a situational hurtful word. And the situation is when somebody other than a person of color uses it. Even Judge Ito at OJ's trial couldn't use that word. But Chris Darden used it enough times in the courtroom. You know, is it offensive? I guess it could be offensive to some people. They don't want to be called anything like that. But you know, you get and that's all the people of color do is call each other nit. Well, anyway, I got beeped out. But God forbid, you know, an Anglo person such as myself, you know, can't say that, otherwise would be ostracized on Twitter. You know, I might try that. I might just go ahead and do that on purpose with not in a, with a semi-apology attached to it, that that's an experiment. See how long Twitter kicks me off for. They'll probably make me take down the tweet and shadow, what do they call that, shadow ban me?
Shadow, no, because with shadow banning, if you're making a true statement, you're having an impact, people are following you, you go against the conventional wisdom in the IT community, which is all, you know, leftist, pinko, America-hating, phony liberals, you will be shadow banned. That's why we had a big show last week with Jim Lancia, and he's been shadow banned. Jim Edwards has been shadow banned. We haven't been shadow banned yet. A lot of other people, they've just been simply kicked off or suspended. Anthony Cumey's been suspended a bunch of times. Alex Jones is in the fight for his professional life. But again, so, but anyways, you're absolutely right. And, but if you turn on, if you turn on satellite radio, turn on to the urban hip hop stations, every other word is the N word. You watch movies, unedited movies about people in this, you know, the hood, you know, just wall to wall N words. You go out in the street and talk them, and just listen to the black people talk amongst themselves. It's just N word. And I work with predominantly black people in my job. I'm in the service industry, and that's all I hear. But you know, I don't care because they're not directing it towards me. It's how they talk. But you know, I haven't had the guts to go up to the joke and say, well, can I, you know, can I say the N word? You know, because I know they're going to say, you know, no, and then they look down on me and chide me, and then possibly go to human resources like, Mr. Stanton, we got reports that you wanted to say the N word in front of a group of African Americans. Can you explain yourself? No, I'm not gonna take my my chances. But it's again, it's leftist liberal hypocrisy, like we said last segment. Barack Obama said the N word, but if he was president and heard some cop say the N-word towards some black person, you know, the Civil Rights Division, the Justice Department would get involved. Jesse Jackson, he had a burial for the N-word, and he called Obama the N-word. Al Sharpton, he's been a race hustler for 35 years, and he used the N-word. So, again, it's just all hypocrisy all the time. And you know, we're getting sick of it. And but again, we don't want to risk our professionals or personal lives by dropping the N word.
Right.
So I mean, it's just, I mean, but I thought about 5 years ago we had a burial for the N word. But I guess like Jesus, the N word rose from the dead.
Yeah, Lazarus, you know, just came back and brought it back. Right. But it's horrible that. You know, it's free speech just as long as you don't have free speech. You know, you can't say what you want. It's not like yelling a fire in a movie theater. You go back to, well, what was that, the second or third Die Hard movie where they had Bruce Willis walking with the sign up in Harlem in his drawers?
The third one.
That movie?
I hate Right. That was
some funny stuff. Yeah, you got to admit that was some funny stuff. I mean, it was
right.
Hysterical, it was situational, and that was funny stuff.
Right, and then the edited version. Now, when they show that movie on broadcast television, instead of saying "I hate," you know, those people, it says "I hate everybody." You know, and what the thing is, everybody that's seen that movie back in 1994 knows exactly what that sandwich board said. And just because, you know, nobody's going to, you know, the brothers up in Harlem or any other neighborhood is not going to care. Some white guy walking around a sandwich board saying, "I hate everybody." They just sit there and probably just laugh at them and just let them go by. But,
it looked like before the pit last break, I was watching, I think it was the Green Mile on TV one night after I got home. And, you know, they left all the dirty words in, except the N-word. And that was silenced when somebody, and you know when they said it, you know, because that the prisoners called each other that. He called that big Michael Clark Duncan, the white guy, called him the N-word a number of times through the movie. And, you know, you big, dumb, neck, Well, there you go again. somebody's quick with the button, thank goodness. But it's in the vernacular, but you can't use it. So
right,
we'll let that keep playing out with this mysterious tape that Amoroso must have. It must be next to Nixon's 18 minutes. You know, it must be around, you know, in those archives somewhere.
Right, and you know what's really funny? Michael Clark Duncan was engaged to Amoroso Manigault, and then shortly after that, he died.
Yeah, right. Yeah, unfortunately, I liked him. He was a big fan, but
We're going to talk about Trayvon Martin and going to court. Our next and final segment. This is 705 Radio.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. Walter Yurkow. Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Okay, and we're
hey,
back.
Scoop, one thing just crossed my desk over here in the southern middle Tennessee studios here. President Trump this morning, I don't know if you know this yet, has revoked former CIA Director John Brennan's security clearance. This morning, and the left is just dancing around on all the news channels about this, that it was unnecessary and it was something that he shouldn't be able to do. And of course, there's another list ranging from Cuomo to Orr to Stroke to get their security clearances revoked. And none of these people really work for the government anymore. Lisa Page, you know, none of them. They all got to go. And, you know, we talked about this maybe a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about the security clearance thing. Listen, you know, if you don't work for the government anymore, you know, you're done. There's no reason why you should have a security clearance. They should be monitored, these people, because they have secrets within their head already from when they were in office. But, you know, you're done, you're done. You're not entitled to know what's going on anymore. You're through. So I just wanted to run that through before we got to this, our Trey Von Martin segment.
Right, and I had a secret clearance from my contracting days. My wife had a secret clearance with her government job. Once we left, this was an Obama administration decision that once you leave that whatever job that you have, they pull your clearance. And getting a secret, top secret, whatever, it costs a lot of money. Because they got to do an extensive background check. I'm actually surprised they gave me a secret clearance based on my, you know, trials and tribulations. But anyways, Paramount Network, which has shows like Bar Rescue, a miniseries called Yellowstone, and Aaron reruns of Friends, showing the whitest white. Of the white city of New York is showing a TV miniseries or special documentary called Rest in Power, the Trayvon Martin story. Now, this caught my eye because years ago on the cesspool, we were following the Trayvon Martin story, you know, every single moment, every single minute. And I was listening to Open Anthony, and Anthony Cumia was going off on Rachel Gentile because, I mean, the trial itself was just, it was just entertainment. But, you know, I was wondering why would the Paramount Network air this, because their demographic is primarily is white people, finally. Anyways, they talked about standing your ground law, number one. And, well, they didn't disappoint. They portrayed Martin as the little boy coming back from 7-Eleven. They only showed a couple photos of Trayvon Martin acting thuggish, and they portrayed him as a cute little boy that wanted to go fight planes, and they portrayed George Zimmerman as worse than Hitler. They're saying he's mentally unstable, he's a cop wannabe, he's a wife beater, he's got he had a previous arrest for assault on law enforcement. He was overzealous. You know, he thought he was since he's able to possess a firearm, you know, he had a penis envy or whatever. It was just a train wreck. And you know, here's some things that that I got out of this series so far, because they only showed two episodes, that nobody else really noticed, was that they showed pictures of Martin at 17 years old, and he's a big dude. They show pictures next to his father, Tracy Martin, who's about six foot tall, and Martin is about 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". So he's already a tall individual. What's his name? Zimmerman was only like 5'4", and also Trayvon played football. His father was a football coach. So you know darn well that he was in that gym pumping iron. So he was a big dude. As they portrayed the Zimmerman as some loser cop, wife-beating, hothead wannabe, you know, walking around with, like, Dirty Harry, they did mention, they slipped out that the housing development that Mr. Martin and Trayvon was staying at and Zimmerman lived in was going through some changes for the worse. The city of Sanford, they had the housing authority was issuing vouchers for people from the projects to move into this housing this beautiful housing development. And guess what? Things started turning for the worse. This is also right after the housing bust where people are just leaving their homes, not even paying, just abandoning their homes. They had issues with squatters. So you had squatters, abandoned homes. I'm sure people taking the copper from wiring in the copper pipes. Section 8 housing, because, I mean, 9 out of 10 times, people that move in with Section 8 is not a good thing. So, and houses are getting broken into. Cars are getting broken into. You know, things are happening because you're bringing the hood to a working class neighborhood. So Mr. Martin decided to take matters in his own hand and start a neighborhood watch. And, you know, Zimmerman decided to take a stand and started a one-man neighborhood watch. So, anyways, and that one day, that fateful day in February 2012, you know, he saw this big dude. He's, you know, following him, and then fight broke out, and one shot was fired, and Mr. Martin was no longer with us. And another good thing I saw this this special is that, you know, the black community and the liberal media and everybody wanted an arrest. They said, why is this guy locked up? Why is this guy locked up? He needs to lock up for murder one, blah, 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 blah. Well, the Sanford police refused to arrest Zimmerman for lack of probable cause. Because, see, even though Zimmerman might have shot the kid, said he shot the kid, there's just no probable cause. And as much as I'm sure the town of or city of Sanford would be much quieter if he locked him up in jail, the Sanford police did now. They didn't want to risk locking him up with lack of probable cause, and then they get a suit for false arrest, and they get the state of Florida after him for false arrest. So what they did, they issued an arrest warrant, sent it up to the state's attorney for the county in Florida, and the state attorney, they just left it there because they didn't want a hot potato, because it was a hot potato, because even the state attorney knew there was no probable cause. And in the interview, Zimmerman, just like Bernie Getz 35 years ago, said, you know, this is what happened, and I shot him because he was being attacked. Right. And you see, you look at his head, his face, and Martin got the best of him, because again, you know, Martin was a big kid. He was in phenomenal shape. Zimmerman was, you know, he was taking some self defense classes. He wasn't very good at. I remember in the trial, and so that's what happened. And then now this producers is saying that Sanford was the start of this whole alt-right / Black Lives movement, and trying to throw in the alt-right and the Klansmen and the Nazis and Trump and Charlottesville because of what happened in Sanford. No, it was a case of self-defense. But they can't just let the poor kid just lay on the ground. I mean, what happened, it was a tragedy. You know, Martin shouldn't have attacked Zimmerman. I said, "Man, I'm going back to my place over here." But like usual, the left they can't just leave well enough alone. What's your opinion on this, Walt?
Well, I watched that trial from day one all the way up to the verdict, and I agree. He should never have been arrested for it. They arrested him to satisfy the community and that, and you know, they came up with you know, the manslaughter charge, and it was just a show. I believe that the prosecuting attorneys knew it was a loser, wasn't those slam dunks, as you say, as some people say. It was a loser to begin with. They knew this guy was going to be found not guilty. You know, he had a really good defense team. You know, those two lawyers, Mr. West and Mr. Moran, I think his name was. I'm not sure.
O'Mara. Mike O'Mara.
O'Hara, yeah.
No, Michael.
Okay. Michael O. What? Oh, all right.
O'Mara.
O'Mara. I think it was a loser to begin with. They knew it and put off. Well, that's going to bring us around to the end of our show today, everybody. We'll pick up Trayvon Martin again next week, I'm sure, because I'm going to watch the episodes also. I want to thank everybody for listening. Take it away, Jim. Jim.
All right, that's it for 75 Radio. We'll be here next week, God willing. If you can, support us, buy some airtime on this network. Free speech is no longer free.
This is James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.